Today is July 31st, 2011. Join us for the early morning Weatherby House service. It's now 4:42 in the morning. Mark's had a very tough night and morning, and so we decided just to go ahead and have our service early. It seems to help Mark if we're able to help him focus on things. We're going to sing a song this morning. Actually, this was sent to us by Rita Beckett, and it's called "Thee We Adore, Eternal Lord," and it's taken from Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sit on the throne and liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Thee we adore, eternal Lord, we praise thy name with one accord. Thy saints who hear thy goodness see, through all the world do worship thee. To thee aloud all angels cry, the heavens and all the powers on high. Be holy, holy, holy King, Lord God of hosts, they ever sing. Apostles join the glorious throng, and prophets swell the immortal song. Thy martyrs noble army raise eternal anthems to thy praise. From day to day, O Lord, do we exalt and highly honor thee. Thy name we worship and adore, world without end, forevermore. Have a selection? No.
Jesus knows,
I trust? Who loves me so? 255. Mixtures of joy and sorrow I daily do pass through. Sometimes I'm in the valley and sinking down with woe. Sometimes I am exalted, on eagle's wings I fly. I rise above my troubles and hope to reach the sky. Sometimes I'm full of doubting and think I have no grace. Sometimes I'm full of praising when Christ reveals His face. Sometimes my hope's so little I think I'll throw it by. Sometimes it seems sufficient if I were called to die. Sometimes I shun the Christian lest he should talk to me. Sometimes he is the neighbor I long the most to see. Sometimes we meet together, the seasons dry and dull. Sometimes we find a blessing, with joy it fills my soul. Sometimes I travel mourning down Babel's ancient stream. Sometimes my Lord's religion appears my only theme. Sometimes when I am praying, it seems almost a death. Sometimes receives a blessing, the greatest I can have.
Because he heard my supplication. He saved me when brought low. Oh, thou, my soul, do thou return to thine quiet rest, because the Lord has dealt in grace, his bounty has been blessed. Thou hast released my soul from death, my eyes from tears kept free. From falling thou hast saved my feet, I live and walk with thee.
Yeah, we're going to look at some, I'm going to have Mark look up some scriptures. Mark, look up Psalm 36:11. Psalm 36:11. We see that Jesus Christ was not proudful, and here he was, the creator of the universe. He came as a servant, as a suffering servant, and he displayed all of the attributes of humility. Mark 3:36-11.
Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me.
Let not the foot of pride come against me. We have to be on guard continually, because Satan will try to cause us to be proudful of whatever. Proverbs has a number of scriptures. Mark, look up Proverbs 8:13. Now, we know that God is the one that can help us deal with this pride problem. We all have it, and it manifests itself in some very unusual ways at times. Go ahead, Mark.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. It
says here in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So we see that there's a contra distinction between those who are humble and those who are proudful. I know there's been times in my life when I had a total misrepresentation of the right concept of self-worth, because in our society, these books back in the 60s and 70s were so promulgated, you know, like psycho-cybernetics and possibility thinking. Winning through intimidation and the art of winning, and your attitude determines your altitude. Norman Vincent Peale's books, and Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. All those books appealed to the pride of man. That's what it was appealing to. Mark, read Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18.
Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before fall.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is he to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Remember, when Christ was being crucified, they parted his garments and they cast lots over his garment. And here it says that the better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. And so we see that there's a lot of pride going on right now in our society. People are proud of their sins. Gay pride parade, that's what they call it, gay pride parade. Let's go back to the 29th chapter of Proverbs, and in that chapter, Mark, if you would go back to Proverbs 29 and read verse 23. 3.
A man's pride should bring him low, but honor shall hold the humble spirit.
Man's pride should bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, one of the best ways to deal with our pride is to go to the Word of God, because it has a way of bringing us down rather quickly when we see our own depravity. Measured against God's holy law, we can see very, very quickly our pride. And pride is a destructive and evil thing. Pride comes before our destruction. Pride will bring us down. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 3:6. 1 Timothy 3:6. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are promoting the exaltation of the creature. They're actually promoting the pride of man. And we have to realize that this is not biblical teaching. And a lot of this is being promoted in the churches. Self-gratification, exaltation of man, and so on. Go ahead, Mark.
Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, you fall into the condemnation of the devil.
Have you ever met somebody that is young and arrogant, and we call them young and stupid, and they may be fairly new in a particular vocation, and they haven't been in that vocation very long, and they think they know it all. They call them the know-it-alls. And then someone comes in that's very, very knowledgeable maybe in that area, and that person doesn't have to say very much before this person that's young and stupid realizes they know nothing in comparison to someone. We absolutely know nothing in comparison to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who knows everything. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's all-knowing, and he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning and the end. And who are we compared to him? And so there's a lot of people out there. I'm thinking about our president, how prideful he is. All you have to do is look at pictures of him, how he sticks his nose up in the air. He has a haughtiness about him. He thinks he has all the answers. He doesn't have all the answers. He's a very proudful, non-humble person. There are other people in our government that have the same attitude. This guy, his name is Reed, Senator Reed, majority of the Senate. Harry Reid has a very, he tries to act. Now, there's also those people that have a false humility. You ever met somebody that tries to appear real pious, but really their piety is a sense of false humility about themselves? There's a lot of people out there that try to come across like they're real humble, but when you actually get to know them, you find they're very egocentric and arrogant and self-centered and self-serving. And we're all that way apart from God's grace. We're all that way apart from God's grace. Now, I want to go back and look at, if I were to entitle this message, it would be, don't get cocky about your accomplishments. Don't get cocky about your accomplishments, because just at the time that you think that you have the world by the tail, so to speak, now, this, of course, message is directed to God's elect, not directed to the non-elect. Let's go over to the first chapter of Job. And it says here that look down at the 21st verse. Actually, let's start with the 20th verse. This is after all these things came upon Job. We know that it appeared that Job had the world by the tail. He had all this wealth, fame, fortune, family, and everything you could imagine. The whole world at that time, I'm sure the people around him looked at Job as being the multi-millionaire, you know, most successful of the successful, and then all these things came upon Job. And Job's response was, Job, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down to the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job said not, nor charged God foolishly. Wow. I certainly can't say that about myself. There's been many times when I have charged God foolishly. Why did God allow this to happen? Why am I going through this? We have questions. But I hope that we can get to a point, and I'm speaking to myself, of course, that I can say, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I hope that I can get to that point where I can actually say that and mean it in my heart. A resignation of whatever God puts on me. Think of all the children that was taken from Job. Everything was taken from him except for his wife, and then she told him to curse God and die. And so the pride aspect of Job was certainly not there. But then we see at the end of the chapter of Job, we go back now to the 40th chapter of Job. We find that Job is humbling himself here before God. And in the second verse, God, of course, speaking to Job, says, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Well, now let's look down to the 12th verse. It says, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Find their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save them. Well, now let's go over to the 42nd chapter, and he says in the second verse, Job says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And so we find that when Job humbled himself before the Lord, what was the response of God? Well, down in the 10th verse it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Just think of that. Job had been harassed by his friends over and over again. They were questioning his integrity before God, trying to say that it was some sin that he had committed, as why all this had happened against him. And Job ended up praying for them. When Job did, it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Well, there's a lesson for us that when we get haughty and we get proudful and we think that we are smarter than God, and when we try to exalt ourselves and bring ourselves before men as something important, we need to remember, you know, we can go back and look at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he said, my hands have wrought all these things. And remember the what happened to him. He became like an animal. He crawled on his all fours, and his nails grew out like beast claws. For 7 years he was in that condition. And sometimes we have to go through an awful lot. And so we have to remember that sometimes seems like we're put on more than we can take. And we wonder, how are we going to stand during these difficult times? And it's a tendency for us to take credit to ourselves for what we can do. Go back to the 13th chapter of Romans. It says, first verse here, we them that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We them that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That's hard to do. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And it says in the 5th verse, now the God of patience, consolation, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Well, this pride thing can be a very much a downfall to us. And there seems to be a prevalence. Scriptures show that if we want to look at the aspect of pride, all we have to do is look at Satan himself. When he said, I will arise and be as God, he was not satisfied, even though he was one of the top angels in heaven, Lucifer, the light bearer. He was not satisfied with that state, and he wanted to circumvent the very throne of God to take over. We see that today. There's a lot of people who want to circumvent the very throne of God, i.e. the Catholic Church, the Vicar of Christ, the priest, the Pope. That is the ultimate pride. When they go into the throne of God and sit at the throne as God, saying they are God. And that's the problem with the New Age religion, is they say that they are little gods. They are God incarnate. They have Christ consciousness. They're all of these things. There's only one God, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and the God the Father. There's no other God. Isaiah says, there's none beside me. And pride is when we try to put ourselves in the place of God. We talked about the definition of stress before, is the denial of the ultimate sovereignty of God in our lives. Really easy to start questioning God and questioning our station in life. Why? David had a lot of questions about why things happened to him. And he often asked God in his prayers why God had forsaken him and turned him over to his enemies and allowed his enemies to overtake him. But David always concluded with the 46th Psalm that says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See with him. And so, says in the 10th verse, be still and know that I am God. I will be strong among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge and seed. So help us, Lord, to remember today that we have all these troubles and struggles with pride, that you can give us the strength to stand in you and you alone and not in ourselves. We have a selection.
Is
that a selected 336, and then we'll conclude with 286. 336.
Oh, once I had a glorious view of my redeeming Lord. He said, I'll be a God to you, and I believed his word. But now I have a deeper stroke than all my groanings are. My God has been of late forsook. He's gone, I know not where. Oh, what immortal joys I felt on that celestial day, when my heart began to melt, my love dissolved away. But my complaint is bitter now, for all my joys are gone. I've strayed, I've left, I know not how, the light from me withdrawn.
Once I rejoiced in things to me they were most dear. I then stooped to wash their feet and shed a joyful tear. But now I meet them as the rest, and with them joyless stay. My conversation spiritless, or else I'm not to say. I forward go in duty's way, but can't perceive him there. Then backward on the road I stray, but cannot find him there. On the left hand where he doth work, among the wicked crew, and on the right I find him not among the favored few. What shall I do? Shall I lie down and sink in deep despair? Will he forever wear a frown or hear my feeble prayer? Though he will put his strength in me, he knows the way I've strolled.
And when I cried sufficiently, I shall come forth as gold.
Okay, let's finish this out with 386.
386. Sometimes it seems like we are walking through a thorny desert. Dark and thorny is the desert through which pilgrims make their way. But beyond the veil of sorrows lies the field of endless day. People howling through the desert make them tremble as they go. And the fiery darts of Satan often bring their courage low. Oh, young soldiers, are you weary of the troubles of the way? Does your strength begin to fail you and your vigor to decay? Jesus will go with you. They will lead you to the throne. He who dyed his garments for you and the winepress trod alone. He who thunder shakes creation. He who bids the planets roll. He who rides upon the tempest and whose scepter sways the whole. Round him are 10,000 angels, ready to obey command. They are always hovering round you, till you reach the heavenly land. There on flowery hills of pleasure, in the fields of endless rest, love and joy and peace shall ever reign in triumph in your breast. Who can paint the scenes of glory where the ransomed dwell on high, where the golden harps forever sound redemption through the sky? Oh, their crowns, how bright they sparkle, such as monarchs never wear. They are gone to heavenly pastures. Jesus is their shepherd there. Hail, ye happy, happy spirits. Welcome to the blissful plain. Glory, honor, and salvation reign, sweet shepherd, ever reign.
Father, we pray you would go with us today and help us remember that pride is a very destructive thing, and that we must rely upon you for all things, including our spiritual sustenance. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.